This is the third class of the Vortex of Submission, and welcome to the call. I'm going to move directly into a self-connection exercise. I really value being connected to being right here, right now. And so we begin our classes by doing just that. So just notice in this moment your breath. This is a constant anchor to being here right now. And then shift your attention to any physical sensations that you notice in your body. And pick out one physical sensation. Perhaps it could even be in your hand or your foot, or just to put all your attention right there. Notice what it feels like. Notice how physical sensation may even shift and change when you put your, while you put your attention there. Now bring your attention just to how you feel with all these requests. Has this been easy for you? An easy yes? Or were you aware of any kind of resistance or sense of no for yourself? Just notice that. A really important part of discernment to notice your own yes and your own no. And then remember a time when you said yes, when it really wasn't wholehearted. And there was a part of you that was saying no. Maybe something this week or even something longer back. Might even be this very moment that I asked you to do that. As you remember that, step into that experience of what it feels like. And there's some sort of caution, some sort of no in there, some sort of discernment about, not this. And then consider, what is it that is so important to you that is also wanting attention in this moment? It is the part that's saying, not sure if this will work for me. I can't find the full-hearted yes in this because something is important. So just noticing for yourself what is important. And just consider what you could say yes to in this moment, in the moment you've stepped into. And then just letting that be in this moment, And consider, here you are in a class, right here, right now. So, glad to be with you all. And this is the time in the call when we get to connect in our larger group. And I would love to hear anything that anyone is celebrating or any questions or comments anybody has about their practice this week and about their connection to submission and surrender. Whatever you're willing to share, to just let us each hear each other's voices. Okay, River.
I'm celebrating setting myself up to participate in this class. It's acting as a good remembering. You know, life is a cycle of remembering and forgetting, and when I have myself in a class or something that's set up for self-reflection and personal development, I set up a situation that I'm remembering more. So I'm grateful that I'm remembering more.
Thanks. And Jean?
I am celebrating because as I was doing the practice, at first I didn't understand what was I saying yes to by saying no. My empathy partner helped me to understand that, and as I went on throughout the week doing the exercise, it was for a particular situation, which I knew would happen today again with a person that works for me. What I realized was that we both wanted more understanding for of, is there anything else for me to do, and why I would say no when there is stuff to do. Fear comes up. In working the exercise, I realized that I wanted more understanding, and she wanted more understanding. And then today, when she asked, is there any more to do, I went, yes, there is more to do. And I just felt really good, and I felt like we had a much stronger connection by my explaining to her more of what was already on the written list that she needed to do, and she did it. It just felt really good, so I'm celebrating that.
Thank you. All right. Now I want to check in with you, Teresa.
It doesn't even occur to me to say no a lot of the time, even though I'm not feeling an easy yes. I go so quickly mm-hmm. into figuring out how to say yes. So that's what I was reflecting on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just becoming familiar with that discernment within yourself that you've sort of been on automatic. Thank you. I resemble that. It's not unfamiliar to me. Thank you. And I want to check in with you, Charlene. Anything you want to say about your practice or the class or anything like that?
During this week, I've been sharing the when you say no, there's a yes behind it with a couple of people, because that was really empowering to me.
Lovely. Okay, thanks. So, Jim, are you available to start the lesson?
I think trying to keep track of too many bits here, so I just made a request of myself to settle down and to just kind of get back into my purpose here, to realize that what's most important to me right now is connecting with you. And what's most important to me is contributing something that's been so valuable to me over the last several years, maybe even parts of this are about 25 years. We're going to be diving into another part of this vortex of submission model today that I think will be very useful to you. First, just to let you know that what we've done so far, the first two classes, one on transforming have to energy to choose to, and then last week we covered saying no and staying connected, that if you focus on those two things, you'll never submit again, theoretically. Theoretically, you will never submit again because you now have the choice to either connect with your needs and say a wholehearted yes and give from the heart, or you have the chance to say no by saying yes and giving wholeheartedly in another way. This is the antidote for submission, building in that choice when we are asked to do something. And someone mentioned in the check-in that it's difficult to say no, that our automatic pattern is to say yes, to find a way to say yes. And I really enjoy noticing that in myself and noticing that in others, because that's one of the cornerstones of an empathic civilization is cooperation, finding ways to say yes I just want to do it with less cost to me and less cost to my relationships. So that's why staying connected at the need level will really help. I said a second ago that with these two skills, the ability to connect to the need that you're saying yes to, even in the face of a no, or being able to connect to the need that you choose to be meeting in the face of a request, that you'll never need to submit again. And yet, you're likely to submit again. The reason that that's likely to happen is because submission is an unconscious process. It's so deep in us, this notion of submission, that it's often automatic, and we don't notice that we have submitted until it's too late. So the rest of this class will be looking at some clues, some breadcrumbs that we can begin to pick up to trace our way back to connection with ourselves and to our needs. Today, we'll be looking at a really powerful skill around making requests. We often hear from folks who are new to learning NBC or things like it, that this idea of making requests is one of the most challenging things. And so today I intend to teach you why it's really the easiest part of the whole nonviolent communication model. By the end of the class today, I'm pretty sure that everybody will have easy access to making all the requests that will make your life more wonderful and make life more wonderful for everybody that you know. We're going to do it in a slightly different way than the other two classes. I'm going to ask you to do some writing along the way. So the first thing I'd like you to do is to think of a situation recently when you said yes to something and then later you realized that you wish you would have said no. That's one of the clues that you've submitted. So think of a situation where you said yes to the request of another person and then later you realized you wish you would have said no. Maybe because you felt resentful or angry or frustrated or something else was a clue that you wish you would have said no. So write down the observation of who was involved and what they asked you to do. Okay, great. So now I want you to check something out in your own consciousness, and only you will be able to know whether this is so for you with this particular observation that you chose. I'm curious if any of you had an expectation that you might get something back if you did what the other person asked you to do. The question again is, did you have an expectation that you might get something back if you actually did what the other person asked you to do? And if you were expecting something, just to write that down, what was your expectation? Let me give you an example that might help. The other day, I was in the middle of some kind of a project. I wish I could remember exactly what it was, but I was doing some kind of a project, and somebody else in the house here asked me for some support. And like a good little boy, I immediately stopped whatever it was I was doing, and I went and helped them out. And then later, I realized that I never really got to finish the thing that I had been working on earlier. So I was kind of irritated about that. And as I sit with it now, I realized that I had an expectation. If I did this thing for that person, that maybe they would support me later in finishing my project, that if I gave them cooperation, that now they owed me. And so if that's true for you, just write down what your expectation was. Okay, great. So everybody's got has an expectation that you've written down. That's really, really cool. I'm impressed that you all got that. Now I'd like to just do a little teaching about that whole thing. One of the costs of submission is that we're going to keep score on these expectations. And the person that we are relating to is never gonna, since we're kind of keeping score in secret, at least some of the time, then our relationship is eventually going to suffer from the scorekeeping. And so I'm not saying don't do this, because I think that would be inhuman, that we are always prone to the habit, the way that we've been raised, that if you do this, then I'll do that. So that's a deeply ingrained habit that we're all going to be dealing with probably for the rest of our lives. What this process gives us the option to do is to bring that to life and bring that to light so that we see it and can own our expectation and then do something about it that will prevent the costs from occurring. So scorekeeping is one thing. The whole concept of O is both a symptom and a cause of submission. The other thing that is a big clue that we're being sucked into this vortex is when we have an expectation that our partner, whether it's a business partner, a family partner, a relationship partner, intimate partner, whatever, when we have the expectation unexpressed that our partner be able to read our mind. So mind reading is another, you know, if you're like me, I really wish Jory could read my mind. I wish she knew what I mean, we're so well connected. We've been together for 31 years or something like that, and really, she should know what I want. I mean, that's my belief, that she should know what I want from moment to moment. Maybe even she should know before I even know. And if she was a really good wife, she would actually fulfill my expectations, because she not only does she know it, but she probably knows that she owes me, because I've done so much for her. And so if I continue to think this way, we're going to both get sucked down into this vortex of submission. By the way, the reason we call it the vortex of submission is because it really sucks. It really sucks the life right out of a relationship. And so here's the cure, is first to begin to notice that you're doing this. Begin just to watch yourself play let's make a deal. Somebody asks you to do something, and go ahead and do it. If you're probably going to do it anyway, just go ahead and do it. And then watch to see if now they owe you. So just observe it. Observe the pattern for yourself and see if it's true for you. So don't believe this just because I say it. Just begin to observe. And then also notice if you have this expectation that your partner be able to read your mind. And that, by the way, is not something that, unless you are married to an alien or a business partner with an alien that has telepathic power, like Counselor Troy on Star Trek, it's probably not going to happen. Because this ability to mind read is, I don't think it might be in us somewhere, but we haven't really fully expressed it yet, even though we have this unexpressed expectation that our partners be able to do it. So that's the first thing, is just to begin to notice the pattern in play. And then the next piece is to begin to express the expectation. So if you think about it, if you have an expectation and you never express it, you're bound to be disappointed. How can somebody give you what you don't ask for? And so then in order to get out of the vortex, this part of the vortex requires us to begin to get connected to what our own needs are and then begin to speak up for our needs, to begin to make clear what our expectations are. And so that's going to be what we're going to work on now, is to write down underneath your expectation how you could frame that as a request. What do you want your partner to do? Whether, again, it's a business partner or relationship, it doesn't matter who you're doing this with. All relationships have the same pattern. What specifically are you going to ask them for? And write that down. Okay, most people have pressed one, and I see that there might be a question on the board here, so let's check in with Doreen. Doreen, are you needing some support?
I'm having trouble with this one because the expectation is for approval of a senior colleague.
Okay. Uh-huh.
I'm not sure how I would ask for that.
Okay, great question. Let's say that I'm your senior colleague, and if I approved of something that you did, how would you know that I did it? How would you know that I approved? Would it be something that I said or that I wrote? Or
let me give you the example. So a well-known senior colleague of mine has asked me to do an evaluation of her grant, and if I say yes, I get the approval of a senior colleague who has quite a national reputation. My time is limited, and so I sort of want to say no. So if I say yes, the expectation that I'll get something back is that I'll get back her approval. And then the question is, the next question, how do I frame that expectation as a request? Well, I can't really ask for her approval. So I'm not sure where
I'm
going.
Yeah, so maybe what it is would be, is it that because she's a senior colleague and she has some prominence and so forth, that her opinion of you has some sway that might enhance your career in some way? Is that close?
That's close. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So one request that you might be able to make is, depending on how this grant review works out, if it meets with your approval, would you be willing to write a letter that expresses your appreciation that I've done this for you? I'll even write the letter. I just would ask that you sign it so that I can use it as a reference for future projects where it might be helpful for me to have this sense of how I've been able to contribute to you. How would that be?
But then I'd still be saying yes to something that I realize I should have realized later I should have said no to.
Uh-huh, yeah. So you're really getting connected to, in this particular case, how the answer that's the deepest truth for you is really no, that you're really wanting to say yes to some other ways to utilize your time that would be more effective from your perspective. Is that it?
Correct.
Yeah. So that's important to know that. And so here's the request that you could make in this particular case. Because there's always a request, and that's the thing I want everybody to leave the class with from today, is that you're going to have two requests that you can always make in order to fulfill this sense of connection. And that would be that you say to your colleague, you know, I really get that you're really needing some support in reviewing this, and I'm also seeing that I really can't say yes to it wholeheartedly because I'm really focusing on this other way. So I'm wondering first how you feel hearing me say that. So that would be one request that you could make, is just for feedback so that you can enter into a connecting dialogue with a person. The essence of that request is, how is that for you to hear, or something along those ways, whatever words are that you think would be working in your culture. The other request you can make, which may or may not work in this particular case, but it can be a powerful request that can be made, is you say, what's so for you? You know, I'm really wanting to focus. I've got this other project that I'm up to, you know, I'm up to my neck with work. I'm feeling a little bit of overwhelm, and I'm really wanting to get a sense of completion. And so I really want to focus on this other project. Would you be willing to tell me what you heard was important to me, so that I can make sure that message sent was message received by you? Something like that. So that's the other kind of request that you can make, is just to make sure that you've been heard. And again, the function of both of these two kinds of requests, one for feedback and the other to make sure that message sent was message received, is to enhance the quality of connection with the other person. They're the beginning of a dialogue, not the end of a dialogue. I just want to pause here and see how that is for you to sit with, Doreen.
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes sense. I get that.
Okay, great. All right, so this maybe feels complete for you for right now. We'll just keep diving. And you might want to think of another situation involving another place where maybe you could make a request that's more of the, if I do this, then for you, maybe you'd like something back from another person. So you might think of another observation, since this particular one may not work for the rest of the exercise. It's up to you to try. Okay? All right. I'd like to hear some of the requests from folks. So if you're willing to share your request, we'll just listen to a few of these requests. Okay, Louise, go ahead. Let's hear the spiel.
Okay. I'm noticing that my nerves are stretched, and my husband and I have decided, you know, we're going to watch a movie together, TV or something, and he starts just flipping channels. And I'm pretty sure that in his flipping channels, something's just going to suddenly appear on the TV that I'm really not going to want to see in the state of nerves that I am. But I'm kind of letting that happen because I want harmony. I don't want to make a big deal. I don't want to have a thing happen between us. So my request can be, you know, I'd like to be with you and I'd like to relax. And would you be willing to stop flipping channels because I'm likely to see something that's going to be hard on my nervous system, and let's watch a nature movie instead? How do you feel hearing that?
Yeah. Yeah, so I really enjoy that request. If I'm your husband and I hear that, it's easy for me to probably let you know how I feel about it. And also, I'm considering what's underneath your request, which is to maybe find something that's calm and relaxing, maybe a nature show, something like that. So great. That really points to some of the pieces that make a request powerful. First, it's clear and specific. So you say exactly what you would like. In this case, you have two requests kind of boiled into one here. You would specifically like to watch a nature show, and you would specifically like to hear how your husband feels about that idea. So that's one kind of clue that you're in the land of a clear and present request. So thank you, Louise. Would someone else be willing to share your request, so we can see what else we can learn about requests? Thank you, Teresa, for fulfilling my request. I appreciate the support. So what do you have?
I have not necessarily a specific situation, but an often repeated situation, and I'm not really sure how to frame a request, which is just that, and again, going back to the sort of automatically trying to figure out a way to say yes. My partner asked me for something, or she asked me to help her with something, or as a favor to do something, and I'm caught in my own busy day or something that I'm in the middle of. But because I care for her and I want to support her, I say yes, even though I basically have forgotten about myself. And then I think the cost of that is less apparent to me when nothing happens afterwards. But if I do the thing and then later on we get into some kind of conflict where I feel like, well, I did that thing and now I am in trouble for, I don't know, not doing something else or for running out of time or for whatever it is, I'm not really sure what the request is in the actual doing of the thing in the beginning. I guess I feel like maybe there's lots of different needs that aren't being met, and that's why I'm confused. But what I wrote was to ask for some validation or expression of appreciation for what I've done or, you know, what I've set aside, I guess, in order to support.
Yeah, thank you. That really points to a really powerful part of requests, which is that you say what you do want, in this case, some appreciation or some acknowledgement for what you've done. It focuses on what you do want rather than what you don't want. And so the counterpoint would be to yours that would not probably be as connecting would be, please don't tell me later that you don't appreciate me or something like that. If you say what you don't want, it's really likely to inspire a sense of resistance in the other person. Often it can even stimulate guilt or shame. with the way we've all been programmed to think that we should always get it right when we hear anything that's easy to interpret as criticism, and often we feel guilty or shamed or defensive or something like that. So the antidote for that is doing exactly what you did, which is saying what you do want. You'd really like to hear some acknowledgement or appreciation. And then to make it an even more powerful request, you could add this, what we talked about a moment ago, which is to make it clear and specific. So you might say, would you be willing to tell me one thing that I did earlier today that really contributed to you and why you liked me doing it? Something like that would be really both clear and specific and also stated in the positive. So thank you, Teresa. Anything you want to respond to what I've said?
I like that language, so thank you for that.
You're welcome. Okay, great, thanks. Let's do one more, at least. Love to hear one more request from somebody. Hi, Kim. What do you have written down there?
Well, and this is a generic one that happens actually quite often in our household because we have three busy children with activities, and my husband and I are the only adult drivers, the only ones who drive. There's a lot of going for and picking up and taking to and that type of thing. Last night there was a situation where my son was at a Super Bowl party. I had done the runs earlier in the day, and I was really hoping my husband was going to do the later run. When you were speaking to the owing and the keeping score, I really have to fight that. When we're talking about these kind of, they are have-to things that we do choose to do them, but I did it earlier today, can you do it later? And I realize that I have been not framing that in the right way at all. And so it's helped me to see that last night I was very tired. I knew he was going to be out late. I certainly could have made that request nicer, in a more positive note, and that expressed my need for rest. It would have been gentler for everyone involved, I think.
Yes, what I'm getting is you're gaining some insight into some other choices that you had available to you. I'm curious, knowing what you know now and having had the rest that you need in order to get more connected to your needs and just be more refreshed, how might you make the request now? What might it sound like? That would be maybe, I think you said, kinder and more positive and so forth. How could you say it?
I think, first of all, just to have expressed that I am very tired tonight. It's been a long day for me, and I'm feeling quite tired, and I would really like to go put my feet up. Would you be willing to pick Daniel up from his party when he calls and it's time to pick him up?
Yeah. So that's a perfect example where you really express what's going on for you in a vulnerable way, and then now you're asking for support to get your need met. And it's something that if I'm your husband and I hear that request, it's helpful to me because first, it really lets me know where you are, and secondly, it's something that I can do something about right now. And so that is the other really important quality of request consciousness, is that it's something that the other person can do in the present moment, not at some future time, not at some past time, but right now. So would you be willing to go pick up my son or whoever it was at the party right now? It has all the elements that we're talking about. It's clear and specific, stated in the positive, and it's something that I can do right now. So thank you very much, Kim. Okay, let's hear one more, then we'll sum it all up.
I'd like to say something else about this last piece, if I could. That work for you, Jim?
You betcha.
Great. What I heard you say, Kim, was that it really does feel like a have to, that your kids are somewhere and they want them picked up. I want to just acknowledge that piece, that to make a distinction, too, between the have to and the sense of urgency around the need. I'm guessing what the real have to is, or the real urgency, the real piece within there that has that same sort of intensity to it as the have to, is their safety. Their safety is primal. And so having them picked up feels just really urgent. Does that resonate for you, Kim?
Yes, it does. Certainly that's one of those things that it feels much better to say we choose to go pick him up from the party rather than saying, oh, I've got to go out, it's raining, and I've got to go pick him up.
Yeah, so you notice that the way you hold it and the things you say to yourself about it can really shift how you feel.
Right.
Yeah. And there is that other piece for me that it goes, that is something is so critical, and I cannot think of another way to do it, that I'm just driven to make sure it happens. I'm driven to do it. The space that we hold and the thoughts we have around it. And in some ways it moves past thinking when it's that urgent and something of that level of importance. Anything else you want to say to that, Kim?
No, I've made myself a note here to try to look for that more in the coming week, because I have a lot of situations come up like that.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you. Annie?
I wanted to ask Kim, just now when you said that about thinking about stating it differently, that you had more openness to wanting to go when you were remembering that it was in terms of his safety. And I just thought, ooh, now that's almost like an invisible submission there, because you've forgotten how tired you were. It's like all the needs weren't, I didn't hear really all the needs there. How does that land for you?
Well, gosh, that's interesting, Annie. And certainly I don't think that if I had been alone, in other words, if my husband were not available to go, there wouldn't be that expectation that perhaps he could give this to me to let me stay home and rest and he go after our son. So I think that there's those situations where I'm the only one available to do it, then I choose to do it. It's less of a submission. Does that make sense? Whereas if he's available, then I have to learn to make that request, you know, will he go after one of our children. And I find that difficult. For some reason, I've always had a problem with that, because I know he works. I'm primarily a stay-at-home mom, and I know he works hard, and he has a busy schedule. When I choose to do something that's going to take me away from those usual pickup duties or meeting the school bus or whatever, then I find I have a difficult time asking him to do that. Because I feel like it's almost a bother to him. I don't want to interrupt his schedule. I don't want to interfere with his schedule. I don't want to cause a disruption there. I don't know. That's something that I've struggled with for a long time. I try to find some other way to make it happen, which really requires a lot of juggling on my part, finding someone to do this or do that so that I'm not interfering with his schedule.
It sounds like you're having a hard time holding your need for choice at the same time that you hold his need for autonomy, maybe?
I do think I have a hard time holding my need for choice. I think you're right about that. His need for autonomy, I see it as more of an ease for him.
Need for choice and his need for ease.
Right. That's interesting. I appreciate you bringing that up. That gives me something else to wander through this week.
It's like a trap for myself that I, when I transform the sentence into giving myself choice, that I forget about what my no was. And I say, oh, yeah, I remember the need now. Yeah, that is really important. And I just go do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you guys are really pointing to a big piece of our challenge as human beings is learning to support our own self-connection through the act of another person's making a request to us. We're just now beginning to be trained in self-connection and monitoring the state of our own needs on a moment-to-moment basis. So it makes perfect sense to me that I would forget what my need was. Even if I just knew what it was 15 seconds ago, I know that I can't even remember a phone number for more than 15 seconds unless I write it down. So it's also true that I can't remember my needs as often as I would like, for a long enough period of time to do something about it. So for me, it's a process of continually refining my skill set in terms of monitoring my feelings and needs from moment to moment and learning to pause. This is it. This is really the important piece for me. Learning to pause before I communicate either my yes or my no, to build in some space for me to get more connected to my needs when that space is available. So I'm not saying that it's always going to be available. Earlier today, I was in the middle of a project downstairs trying to get ready for this class. I wanted to finish up down there before I came up here for this class. I'm in the middle of it, and I hear Jory is asking me to do something. And before you know it, I'm doing it. I'm doing what she wanted me to do. But while I'm doing it, I'm muttering under my breath. I have a whole little jackal show going about how I have to do it all and, you know, woe is me. And, you know, I was definitely getting sucked down that vortex because I didn't pause. It didn't seem like there was enough space to pause. I had a story that there wasn't enough space for me to pause and self-connect. And so what I want to learn to do is begin to question that story. What would it have taken if I had just taken 5 seconds to just really sink in and consider my needs and figure out a way that I could stay connected to my needs and then respond to this request? So that's the world that I want to live in. Just want to pause here and see if anything comes up for either you, Kim, or Annie, since you were last the one speaking and I was responding to you. Anything up for either of you hearing that?
I have some kind of scary honesty here that I'm going to throw out, and that was just a couple minutes ago when Jory said, Jim, I have something I'd like to say here right now. Is that okay with you? And I had this question that came up in my mind right then was, how could Jim possibly say no? So I'm wondering how you feel when you hear me say that, Jim.
Oh, I have such a big grin on my face. I wish you could see it. It's like I really have a sense of being met in a compassionate way. And in that particular moment, I really was connected. I so value Jory's contributions in these classes. That's one of the gifts to me in my life is that I don't have to, that I can really rely on her wisdom to come through. And I'm really glad that I did say yes, because look at this rich discussion that it led to. So in that particular case, I did pause for a half a second, and I realized how much I wanted to hear whatever it was she had to say. There are other times in training when that may or may not be true, but in this particular case, it was true. So thank you. You've been training with us long enough to know that you've probably seen me submit. Yes. Thank you.
Would you like to know how it would have been for me if he had said no?
Please. Please. I'd love to hear that.
Well, it's hard to actually step back there and know what my consciousness was, but I think I was feeling pretty open in the moment. When I'm in an open space and I hear no, then I get that he has some part of the picture I don't have. And so it's easy for me to surrender. And if I'm in some place like, oh, it's not fair, or I'm, you know, after all I've done, or, you know, all those other places that we can get into, then I might feel resentful. I was pretty open, though. I was ready to defer to him in that moment. That's what went on for me.
Thank you both, Zanny. And I just want to say quickly that I really appreciate so much your honesty in answering that, because I really got what the quality in the moment of the request is. Like, I've heard this a million times, that how do you feel when you hear no? And both of you, explained that for me in a really relevant way. So thank you.
Thank you, Annie. River, your microphone is live, River.
Well, what I wanted to bring up is the moment has passed, but I've got something cooking that I think I'm just going to splat out with. Is that all right?
You betcha.
Okay. Well, I notice I'm submitting, it feels like I'm submitting a bit to this telecourse. I've not done a telecourse for personal growth before, and I'm finding that I'm not being very satisfied. Like, I really long for that everybody in the same room connection that I really appreciate. And thoughts went through my head, you know, this isn't working for me. I don't want to do it. But that, I mean, that's a ridiculous, if that's the thought, it's not a choice that I believe I'll make, because really I'm craving connection. But I'm noticing that I'm not getting my connection need met. So this may help.
Yeah, thank you. Would you like me to reflect back what I heard?
Oh, isn't that a good idea?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
So what I heard from you is that you're really noticing some uncomfortable feelings in relationship to the class right now, and mm-hmm. and you're gonna you're willing to speak up for them, and that you're really connected to your need for connection. That's really important for you, and it's missing for you. At least it was, and wondering now how it will be now that you've spoken it. Did I get it?
Mm-hmm. Truth is, I feel much more connected now after speaking up, and you know, I may, after having this experience with this telecourse, may or may not choose to do them in the future, but at the moment, yeah, my need for connection is much more met than it was 3 minutes ago.
Thank you for letting me know, and thank you for speaking it up. I really appreciate that very much. And I treasure connection and want to support that. But Jory, so is there something you want to add, Jory?
Yeah, I'd love to know if there are any other requests, either in this moment or at any point, or any ideas you have that could support your sense of connection more during the class. So if there's some idea that pops in your head right now, River, I'd like to hear it. And again, at any point from anyone, I'd love to hear this.
I mean, nothing really comes to mind. I'm a little in the dark, or maybe I'm not in the dark, about what connections options there are. I'm assuming when we're all on the line together, the only option really is to hit the keypad to say I'd like to say something or be included in a different way. And that's pretty much the limitation of the technology, isn't it?
Yeah, and there are times when we might be able to break up into smaller groups, which I think we might do for a little bit here in a moment too, where there will be smaller groups with the mics open to be able to speak to each other about your experience.
Yeah, okay. Well, sort of, I guess, I mean, I like the smaller group, but there's something about the larger group that I'm not getting, and I don't know if it's, would be workable. I guess I have a request to open the possibility of having a chat available, you know, like a text chat, so that at the same time we're having the teleconference. I mean, I know that speaking all together really wouldn't be workable, but I'm wondering if there would be another avenue to, I don't know, I'm not clear about this. So I'm willing to go with the small group option, but there's something about the large group connection that I'm craving that I haven't solved that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let me see if I've got it. That something about when we're in this large group together on the phone, your need for connection is not really met, and you're open to exploring other ideas, but you're just not connected to any strategies that might help right now.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you like to hear my feedback about that?
Yeah.
That this is, you know, doing a teleconference is engaging with a whole new set of skills. And it makes sense to me that, I think I heard you say that this was your first time doing a personal growth teleconference. But it makes sense to me that you would find your rough edges sooner rather than later, knowing what I know about you. And that I'm very grateful that you spoke up, and that as you stay more connected to the needs, I like this idea you have about some kind of text chat maybe, or maybe there's some other avenue that we can explore. So I really want to stay open to that, because I want that need to be met whenever possible. So I'm really grateful that you brought it up. Anything else for you about it right now?
No, I feel much more at peace, and I think for me it's enough for now. Thanks.
Okay. Great. I see Jean has her hand up, and then I want to say one last piece and then move into some pair work. Go ahead, Jean.
Well, I just wanted to comment that when you were talking about supporting our own self-connection when someone's making the yes or no decision, it's like there's just this little opening that's coming about supporting my own self-connection, and that was the piece that I had trouble with in the practice last week because I couldn't see where my self-connection came in when someone was making a request of me, because I was, of course, going to say yes to the request. So I think that's what I'm wanting to say. Thanks.
Thank you, Jean.
So I wanted to say one last piece about requests, the final element, and then I'd like to break us up into pairs. There's actually two things I want to say. One is this final element of request, lots of folks have pointed to in their example, and that is exemplified by the phrase, would you be willing? It's not that we're saying that you always have to say, would you be willing, before you make a request. It's about the consciousness. And what I mean by that is that when I say, would you be willing, and I'm actually being honest when I say it, then I'm open to outcome. That's what the phrase means to me. Would you be willing means that if you say no, I can still feel peace. I can stay connected to my need, and I can trust in my own ability, and that I trust that the universe has other options available for me other than you to get my need met. So I want to train myself to have the consciousness of would you be willing when I make a request, because I don't want anybody to submit to me. If I don't want to submit to anybody, then that's the world I want for everybody. And by me having it in my consciousness that I only want to receive a gift that's joyfully given, and therefore please only grant me this request if you're connected to your need to contribute or some other need, that's the world I want to live in. And having that consciousness, would you be willing, is an important part of that for me. Let's see what Annie has to say here. Go ahead, Annie.
I'm hoping I can articulate my question here, kind of bump around here. It's around having a conversation with someone else. So say I have the clarity inside of myself that I'm making a request and I really only want someone to say yes if it's really what they want themselves, if it's going to work for them. And I hear them say yes and I have a gut feeling that they don't really mean it. So is part of that consciousness of being at peace when you hear a no also being at peace when you hear a yes that you're concerned about?
I really like the question because I notice that I sometimes am reticent to even receive a yes. I'm so connected to how deep this pattern is in us to submit. And so for me, it's about just slowing things down and making room to connect before I'm willing to receive the gift that the other person is offering me. And so it's a matter of training myself to just slow down and not be in such a hurry to receive either the yes or the no, but rather to take the time to connect, to do something that's out of my pattern, which is to behave more robot-like, more automatically. So curious if that helps in any way, Annie.
Well, I love the answer, but it's almost like I need to drag around a ball and chain or something to slow me down. For me, that's the question. How do I remember to slow it down?
So I think you actually answered that question when you started your question here, Annie, because you have that sense already going on for you. For me, again, this is a moment of discernment where someone says yes and you get a feeling, then that is your slow down. That is your message to go, wait, hold it. Let me check it out. Does that make sense?
It does, except for my reaction then is actually to speed up and like, oh my God, I got to make sure this is okay. Is this really okay? Instead of, oh, okay, I need to put my foot on the brake here and connect, self-connect, check this out. So it's just my interior thing.
So let me see if I just got that, because what I heard you say was that when that happens for you, you have this sense of intensity that you have to check it out. You actually speed up.
I get anxious, and I think, oh, no.
So those are two different things. Your discernment is there, and maybe that anxiety is about you don't know quite how to check it out.
Yeah.
So the difference, you already have the reason or the message that something might not be right on. The part about the anxiety is something else. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So when you feel the anxiety, then it's a message to go, whoa, I feel scared. I'm really wanting to be connected. I'm guessing that's what the anxiety is. Or connect to that need first and then move back to the other so that you take yourself with you.
The main point for me is the slowing down.
Mm-hmm.
How to actually sort of counter my lifelong pattern of going into Mach 2 instead of breathing, self-connecting.
Yes, thank you. And I have a little suggestion about that, something that I've been, that I notice as a pattern in me because I'm kind of a consciousness growth junkie. And so, you know, I'll hear something like that in the class and I'll really get the insight. And then I'll say, so I'm always going to slow down from now on. And so I'll set myself up with some kind of a request that's impossible. It's not doable. And so instead, I will make I'll try to chunk it down and say, today, for 5 minutes after the top of each hour, I'll try to slow things down. Or something, whatever works for you, but just find a way to make it manageable so that you don't end up having another stick to beat yourself up for not doing it good enough, to find a way that you can try something new for a smaller period of time. I'd love to hear your response, but I want to kind of cultivate more connection in the group here. So I want to break folks up into pairs. I'd like you to just to take what we've learned today and have a little bit of a mindful discussion with a partner for about 7 minutes about what you've learned, and what questions you still have, and to use the power of requests with your partner to have a discussion for about 7 minutes. If you're not clear on the instructions, you need them repeated, just press 1. All right, there's River. Go ahead, River.
Would you repeat the instruction?
Yeah, so I'm going to put you in pairs, and the idea is just to connect with your partner, to have the intention to connect about this topic of making requests. What you learned from today, what questions you still have, any empathy you might need about requests, and to actually use requests in your pair to guide the discussion. Is that clear?
Yes.
Okay, great. You're all in your small group.
So welcome back into the large group, and we'll all have an opportunity now to check out. And I wanted to say this idea of being able to pause or to have awareness that we're trying to build into what we're doing right now is very challenging, because the likelihood is that we won't always do it. I know I don't always do it. I feel fairly skilled, but I don't always do it. And I think Jim is incredibly skilled, too. He doesn't always do it. So there's something that I find very helpful is, rather than having so much attention on the not doing it part, is to shift our attention to paying attention to when we do it. So at the end of a day, to actually review and say, when's the times that I actually did pause? Or any time you notice that you've paused, really go, oh, wow, I just really paused. And that just begins to reinforce it, rather than looking at how many times we didn't. So on that note, I'd like to move us into a checkout.
We'll start with Charlene.
I'm just very happily overwhelmed, or just very glad what Jim said tonight about learning to pause before I say yes or no, to self-connect to my needs and then respond to the request, brought this amazing feeling that that's what self-love is. So I want to give myself that gift and incorporate it as much as I can in my life. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for actually giving us your nugget, which is what I was hoping I would hear from. Reading my mind. See, it does work sometimes. And then we'll go to Annie and then Kim.
I had to kind of laugh when you said that we're, you know, the idea of shifting the energy to when I did pause and reinforcing it, because once I wrote it down immediately, I might forget. So I think my nugget that I'm taking away from this is another way of really bringing self-acceptance into my life is around when I do notice that I haven't paused. Having self-acceptance for I really am doing the best that I can, and that I am really interested in continuing to try and develop the pause.
Yay! Giving yourself permission to be human. And we'll go to Kim and then Teresa.
Well, I too joined the band with learning to pause. It's going to be a fun thing to work on this week. But I also have put little stars next to something that Jim said earlier, because this is where I do have the most difficulty in formulating requests. I said something earlier about how we want to bring our expectations to light and life. I like that. I need to start recognizing that expectation so that I can formulate a good request for myself and for the other person. That's my little bringing my expectations to light and life.
Really enjoyed how you said bringing my request for myself and for the other person, the acknowledgement that it's also a gift to the other person too. Thanks. And Teresa, and then River.
I think for me, what I'm really taking away from this call are descriptions or pointers of what a good request is. I'm realizing that a lot of my confusion around how to make a request to someone is really tied to the fact that I'm not really okay receiving a no from my request. You know, I don't ask people for a lot of things, so somehow I have built up some yeses or something like that when I do make requests. Just recognizing in myself that I don't have a lot of room for no from other people, and therefore I don't have a lot of room for me to say no either. The things that Jim had said about specific and the phrase, would you be willing, and really being clear that it's a request with yes or no as a response, those are important to me.
Thank you. I'm appreciating your awareness there. And River, and then Louise.
I am appreciative of all the talk about pausing and remembering that if I even notice that I didn't pause, it's training me to notice my pausing. So I like that. And I feel like my need for connection is more filled and learning.
Thank you for speaking up and finding a way to fill it. Thank you. Louise, then Jean.
I'm really appreciating what I'm hearing in. These patterns are pretty deeply conditioned in us, and so to realize that they're going to happen again, and so how do we take it and flip it around? I'm appreciating that. Also, it had a lot of life and juice for me when people were just, like Annie, River, and so on, were just bringing stuff in and what that opened up. It really had a lot of life and juice for me and got a lot out of what came out of those discussions. And another nugget is questioning the story that there isn't time to self-connect. And appreciating that, noticing there might be an array of possibilities of how to pause. And also just the paying attention to when we do pause again, really appreciating that one. Thanks.
And we'll go to Jean.
I'm acknowledging that I have an overwhelming fear of making requests, and I'm not sure if I'm getting to the acceptance level of that, but in people's checkouts, they were saying pause. Seems like everyone was getting that piece about pausing. And so what was coming to me is the breathing and the pausing to begin to let go of that fear so that I can actually think to form the request.
Thank you. And then to Doreen.
I'm just going back to what Jim pointed out, the clues that we were submitting, the keeping score and reading my mind. I had to laugh when he said that because it really struck home. That's my nugget.
And then Jim?
There were certain moments of the class that were very rich and meaningful for me, especially hearing from River when his need for connection wasn't met. I love it when people speak up and let me know what's going on for them, because then I can either empathize with it or do something about it or both. I guess that's what I'm checking out with. It's just a deep appreciation for hearing from people and how my life is enriched by your request. Thank you.
And just real briefly, I am glad to be on the call. I loved hearing everybody's input when anything was alive in you. I enjoyed your checkout. So with that, goodbye.
This recording is copyrighted by the NVC Academy and is for personal use only. To support our sustainability, redistribution of this recording is prohibited without written consent of the NVC Academy. Thank you.